Okay, it feels like long gone are the days of real journalism. Now, with journalism being these TV pundits ranting and raving about their political views, but you are all in for a delight, for a treat today with Talk to Me, Taylor, because we have one of the last women standing when it comes to real in the trenches journalism. Everyone, help me in welcoming the award-winning one and only Mariana Van Zeller. Mariana is truly a hero. She puts herself in compromising positions with her show Trafficked Underworld on National Geographic. She is, when I say in the trenches, doing the real work in the black, investigating the black market, which is half of our world economy, things like drugs, sex, body parts, assassins. So, Mariana, we only have 15 minutes, so we have no time for small talk or chit chat today, girl. We got to get right into it. And we have no, so, but you're, like I said, tried and true journalism. So, you don't need the softball questions. We're going to get right into it today. Thank you for coming. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Taylor.
Of course, of course. So let's get, like I said, let's just dive right in. The first thing that I want to tackle with you is sex trafficking, because this has been a bo you've been doing this work for decades, for, 20 years. Are we kind of naive to how much, I mean, this has been so politicized, but are we naive to how much this goes on, even on our own soil? And off of that, we're on the heels of the Super Bowl. And people have speculated for a long, she's nodding, like, yep, people have speculated for a long time that the Super Bowl is one of the highest trafficked place where this happens. What do you make of all of it? Are we, like I said, naive to it on our own soil? Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. It happens very much here. Sex trafficking is very much alive, unfortunately, here in the United States. I think we tend to think usually of sex trafficking as something that happens outside America, but it actually
Right.
happens on American soil. It doesn't exactly happen. I've reported extensively on this, even though my show Trafficked is about trafficking networks at large, drugs, guns, assassins, like you mentioned. It's about black markets around the world. I have reported extensively on sex trafficking, and I think people
Yeah.
have a diff an idea that it's these sort of white vans that go around in neighborhoods and snatch these women and take them to dark basements somewhere and do horrific things to them. It's not exactly like that. A lot of times, it's there's people who come to show up and start talking to women and sort of become friends with these women. And then sort of start using these women, break them down psychologically and start using them for their own profit. So it's very different than sort of the stereotype that we have about sex trafficking, but it does happen. It happens, whenever there's a people from all over that come to a new town, such as in what happens with the Super Bowl. It tends to happen more in those situations. But yeah, it is something, unfortunately, that is happening all around us.
And it's not conspiratorial in your view to think, like you said, the Super Bowl, where it's high volume, all these people. Like, what would you say to someone who's like, you're nuts? No way. Obviously, it's this huge cultural moment in American, society and beyond. Would you say someone, someone who would think, no, that's probable that that would happen there? Is that nuts?
Yeah, in my experience, there are two sort of regions and places and situations when sex trafficking tends to exist more. And those are whether there's towns like certain places where there's a highways and there's centers for transportation. And that happens in places like that, geographically speaking, in places that it makes sense where there's a lot of movement, a lot of traffic, a lot of people that go through there. So it have their high incidences of sex trafficking in those situations. And then also in places where there's tourists that come in. When tourists come in, they want to party. That's what happens. That is why we see this so often happening in Las Vegas as well. And also in places where there is a Super Bowl. I think there is the controversy only comes because it is a lot of times women that are brought from other cities and other places in the United States who aren't natives of these places, and they're brought by their sex traffickers. A lot of times it's their you know, pimps and people that use them again for profits that bring them in and out. And that's where, you know, there are these instances of sex trafficking. But again, Taylor, my show is about everything in the black market. So sex trafficking.
Oh, I know.
One part of it.
Oh, I know. Can you guys look at the sweet little face and how she, I mean, the contradiction of that. It's so funny because I saw you on Joe Rogan and he made a comment about how you're just like the happiest person, such a sweet woman, and see the darkest depths of society is sounding, and you've been doing it for so long. So that's why you're a true treasure. Given that that is one part, and I'm going to get into other facets too in the next 10 minutes of what you've explored and uncovered and discovered. Something that I've explored often on my show, right, is women's sexuality, how it's historically controlled, belittled, suppressed culturally, you know, again, historically through religion, what have you. So I'm curious, from all you've seen with sex trafficking, from your experience, do you think that, you know, men, there is a facet of men being, you know, terrified and trying to control women's sexuality and threatened by it in a way? Do you think that that is a facet of this? Or would you say that it's purely, and this is so horrific to even say, but filling like a business need? Or do you think that that is kind of a component in this?
I think it's both. I think that, you know, we live in a world in which gender inequality is still all around us. I mean, I feel it in my own space, in my own work. You know, I've spent 20 years covering black markets, and which are, you know, worlds, underworlds that are usually controlled by men. They're male-dominated underworlds. And I felt it myself, but I always say that I sort of use, in my case, in the kind of reporting that I do, because I'm often the only woman surrounded by men with in dangerous situations, that I tend to use gender bias to my own advantage, in the sense that I think that we as women are underestimated very often. And so they don't see me as a threat. And when we sit down and I ask difficult questions and I make people feel uncomfortable, that comes from an unexpected place. But also, I would say that we're also very empathetic. It's a very female quality to be empathetic. And in the kind of reporting that I do, it's always at the forefront. I always try to understand why people do what they do instead of trying to judge them, because I think that's so much more important, to get at the motivations of why things like sex trafficking, like drug trafficking, where all these bad things happen in the world.
It's gripping watching your show, because, and it's so fascinating to hear you say that, I almost use it as a tool in my kit. It's like, are you underestimating me? Because I'm going to cut to the jugular. I mean, there are scenes in your show, you're literally face to face with assassins. And I'm thinking, they literally say, I could take you and your whole crew out right now. And that's guts. And to, that's so interesting to hear you say, you know, using who you are as a tool in that. Genius.
It is true. And there are situations like that. The assassins interview being one of them, which happened actually just 15 minutes from my house in Los Angeles. And that was sort of an unexpected twist, because he'd agreed to speak to us. And then once we started interviewing him, he got very nervous and sort of in a bad mood. And like you said, he threatened us, which was unpleasant. But in a lot of times I try to find the humanity in people. You know, I'll never forget one of the first stories we did for Trafficked was about cocaine trafficking. And we were in Peru, and we were talking to a 16, 17 year old kid who carried kilos and kilos of cocaine on his back and risked his life, had seen some of his friends being killed right in front of him. And he did it. When I asked him, why do you do what you do? You know, these are the people that we consider the bad guys, right? The drug traffickers that are bringing harmful substances to our country. And he said, you know, I've always wanted to be a dentist, and my family can't afford to send me to college. And this is the only way that I can save money to go to college. And I asked him, why do you want to be a dentist? Because I want to make people smile, and with big smiles, so they can show their whole teeth and show how happy they are. And that made me, you know, realize that a lot of the people, again, that we consider the bad guys are actually human beings just like us, but that didn't have the opportunities that we have.
Crazy to me how you find the humanity of that in your show. And also too, it makes you think, because when you think of these, whatever facet it may be, these high profile, powerful people in the mix. I mean, look at how much like Jeffrey Epstein and all of that has brought to light, which, by the way, Mariana, not to bring you into the conspiratorial thing here, but blink twice if Jeffrey Epstein did in fact kill himself, or blink once if you think he did not.
I know as much as you do, but it's definitely a theory going around.
Yeah, she's like, can confirm that there are a lot of, again, high profile people in the mix, and just uncovering all of that, right? And also how all of these issues, you know, you talk on your show too about, you know, drugs and all these issues have become so politicized. Like, I don't know if you were in the loop at all with The Sound of Freedom, that movie that was uncovering sex trafficking, and it became so politicized. And I'm thinking, this shouldn't be a political issue. And media outlets who wrote it off as like, oh, this is a boogeyman, this is nothing to, you know, they're just trying to scare you. You know, when it comes to all these issues, you even think about like drugs being brought across. You know, when things like that are written, I don't know about you, but it makes me think, like, it makes you look complicit. Like, isn't this worth looking at? Like, why would it be politicized? It's like, oh, they're just being neurotic and paranoid. It's like, well, we should look at this. No?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what I try to do with the kind of reporting that I do is to raise awareness to these issues that are happening, sex trafficking, drug trafficking, assassins, all of it. But also to try to understand the motivations. I think it's easier to do sort of to portray the world as black and white, as them, as the others versus us. And they are wrong and we are right. And they are good, bad, and we are good. But ultimately, we live in a much more complex world. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I think it's much more fascinating and ultimately more important to understand why people do what they do. It's not a simple answer. People aren't born evil. You know, people aren't born wanting to be criminals in the majority of cases. They are led to many times because of inequality, because of a lack of opportunities to the lives that they lead. And it doesn't mean that I condone what they do. I absolutely do not condone what they do. But I do think that if we spent more time understanding why, instead of pointing fingers and judging, we'll be able to sort of make the world a better place, to really end in a big cliche here.
Well, I was going to say, Mariana, with all of these issues and what you're getting at and why what you're doing is beautifully, but also sadly so unique, is that there's so much nuance, right? In a world that is so black and white, good, bad. And, you know, I remember having an actor on my show who was in Bruce Willis's last action movie, and he plays Paul Johansson. He plays like the bad guy. And we talked on my show. He's like, wow, there's actual humanity and human in him. And on the show, he's like, you know, he's like, I never even thought about it until now for the first time, that about my character. Like, that was the meaning of the movie, you know, and it really is, because we're in such binary duality view of everything.
It's very sad. It's really something that I try to sort of show in effect, is that there's a lot of good and bad in everyone, you know, and I think so that it's sort of lazy thinking to just think of the world as so binary. And we have a tendency nowadays to do that. And I hope that when you watch Trafficked, you sort of are able to see all the colors that make the world, instead of just this black and white that we're sort of stuck in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. And even when you think it's actually a very provocative thing. I mean, I remember even talking with them about that movie, like, fiction or not fiction, in your case, when you can take somebody so evil, but also like look at different nuances, it's like, no, they're not just a monster. It's like, wait, did you just do that? But it's also, you know, something to look at there. It's very human, like you said, and it's almost like the degree to which you are, you know, on good versus evil, so to speak. But it's a complex thing.
It is. I'm happy you're able to see that in the show.
Yes, and absolutely. And lastly for you, because I know we have to hop, my background is in entertainment, red carpet reporting, so I'm really curious for your thoughts, given that, you know, you've been face to face, you've explored actual assassins, okay? And often in pop culture, it's very much glorified. You have like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Kill Bill, John Wick. So your last kind of thoughts, like what you make of that, and again, kind of what I kicked off with the Super Bowl, no pun intended, and sex trafficking, is this something like that happens on our soil more than we think? Are we naive to it? What is your take on that?
Yeah, it's interesting, because when we started discussing doing a story and episode on assassins, and that was our first thought, is this something that's sort of more of a myth than a reality? But we started looking into it and realized that, I mean, we ended up, the beginning of the episode actually starts with an interview with an assassin in downtown close to downtown Los Angeles.
Yes.
So, and that was completely unexpected. It's not very far away from my home. I didn't think that was going to be to happen right there. And this, it is indeed happening. But I think for me, what was most interesting is that we actually ended up going to South Africa, which has one of the highest assassination rates in the world, and finding what an assassin, a paid hitman, who we spent several days with. And again, his story, as difficult and sort of torn as I am, obviously he is paid to kill people, which is the worst of the worst crimes. You're taking away somebody's life. But in his case, if you hear his backstory, how his parents were killed when he was young, how he was left without protection, how he had no, he was jumping on from family member to family member, and then to sort of foster care, and then ended up sort of working in the drug world because that's all the only place that he could get money from, and then eventually becoming an assassin. And you see sort of the cycle of violence. And again, if you try to understand the motivations and why people do what they do, and if this kid had been given another option, I doubt he'd end up as an assassin. So it's at the end of the day, it's about asking the larger questions. And I think that's what our show did. It found, in fact, unfortunately, there are assassins out there. Assassinations do happen, particularly in places with impunity and corruption like South Africa. But it's also important to understand why they're happening at the rate that they are.
Lastly, for you to hop off, something I explore often is, are we in a darker world? It feels like the world's getting darker and darker, or are we just exposed to it more with media and phones 24/7? Being in your shoes and being someone who's done this for 20 years in the darkest depths of society, and you still are so optimistic about humanity, what do you think? Are you optimistic about humanity? Are we generally, you said people aren't born evil. Are we moving into a more, into a darker place? Or are you optimistic?
I think politically we're at a crossroads right now. I think that unfortunately our society is fractured in terms of there's a them versus us that is sad and depressing and difficult. But I do think that for many people, in many ways, we are living better now than we were. There are more rights nowadays than there were even 50 years ago. And so I do think that it's, you know, we have ups and downs. I don't like to see the world as a dark place. And one thing that I've learned from filming Traffic for all these years has been that no matter how far to the edges of our society I travel, I can still find people that are relatable and redeemable. And that is something very, very special that I'm able to connect to people and hopefully show our viewers and help our viewers connect with people that are come from completely different backgrounds than they do. I think that's very powerful. And that's sort of the power of television and media. And I hope that TV and media and shows like Trafficked will help us become more connected instead of divide us more. And that's my goal.
Especially in today's world, it's such a gift. So with that being said, thank you for, you know, with my pure, one of my journalistic heroes and, you know, my journalism background from one to another, thank you for the work that you do. You're such a gem. And thank you for doing the journalism Lord's work for the rest of us out there. So I appreciate you and the work that you do.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming. Thank you guys so much.